We're starting the series tonight, Roman Catholicism in Light of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And tonight it's Catholicism's Exaltation of Mary versus Hebrews' Exaltation of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. A number of the members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, I estimate approximately half, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. The reason for that is that the Roman Catholic Church has borrowed heavily from the Aaronic priesthood of the Old Testament. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. And we view Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, on Catholicism's exaltation of Mary versus the biblical exaltation of Christ. I want to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. The first chapter of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom he also made the world, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Okay, Roman Catholicism calls Mary the Mother of God. But Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 teaches that Christ created the world, what would include his creation of Mary. That term Mother of God, incidentally, comes from the Council of Ephesus, and then it went over to Council of Chalcedon, I believe it was. And what they were trying to do at the time was to counter the Nestorian heresy. They were trying to prove that Jesus was God, even though he was in the flesh. So they said she was the Mother of God, and by that they meant God. He wasn't just a man. A better reading would have been Mother of One Who Is God. But they left it out. Well, the Roman Catholic Church jumped on the term Mother of God and used it to exalt Mary to something that is higher than what she was ever intended to be exalted by God. So anyway, Christ created the world, which also means that Christ would have included the creation of Mary. Of course, he started with the creation of Adam and Eve, but we believe that when babies are born and so forth, that's a carryover of the creative work of God. Roman Catholicism teaches that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Mary so that all obey, even God. Now, that is a book by Bishop Alphonse de Liguori, who has been canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church. He wrote The Glories of Mary, and it was published in 1931. Now note, the editor's note in this book asserts everything that our Saint Liguori has written is, so to speak, the Church herself that speaks to us. However, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, especially in the English Standard Version, teaches that Christ is the exact imprint of the nature of God the Father, and he upholds creation by the word of his power by which he called the universe into being. So God and Jesus are sovereign over Mary. A lot of people forget that. It's interesting here in Hebrews, it says God through his Son created. So actually the Trinity was involved in creation because the Holy Spirit in verse 2 of Genesis 1 was hovering over the waters. So it was done by the power of the Spirit of God. It was the Son apparently who spoke the word and called things into being. And God the Father, of course, was the one who was running the decrees on this situation. But Jesus Christ actually upholds creation. Think of it. Mary's very existence was upheld by the word of Christ, the baby that she gave birth to, which is an amazing thing, God in the flesh. But it's interesting, when he was born, the angels told the shepherds, today is born in the city of David Christ the Lord. So even in a manger, he was God at birth. It's amazing. And then see, Roman Catholicism commands a worship peculiar to Mary. Now, to be fair to the Catholic Church, they don't say that she should be married on par with God, but worship on par with God, but she should be worshipped to a degree, but lesser than God, which is really stunning. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 in the ESV presents Christ as being of the exact imprint of the nature of God the Father, and thus it is he who is to be worshipped as God. It's interesting in verse 6, and again when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And then verse 8, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. So God the Father calls the Son God, which is a very interesting thing for God to do. So, you'll note also in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, where Jesus is answering Satan, and Jesus teaches that we should worship God and God alone. There's no worship that we should make of any being other than God alone. Roman Catholicism teaches that the triune Godhead gave Mary a name above every other name, that at her name every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow. Once again, we're citing Liguori, page 260. However, Jesus obtained a more excellent name than the angels, according to Hebrews 1:4, and God the Father called him God in Hebrews 1:8. Mary is not God, so she cannot be sovereign over God and Christ in heaven. And to say that everything in heaven and earth should bow, you can't picture God the Father and God the Son bowing to Mary in heaven. That's blasphemy. Roman Catholicism calls Mary the Queen of Heaven and the Queen of the Angels. That's Lorraine Botner, page 134. But Hebrews 1, 5-14 reveals that Jesus Christ, who is the superior to heaven's angels, is the superior to heaven's angels and not Mary. God did not address any of the angels, but only Jesus Christ as his Son, whom he had begotten in fulfillment of Psalm 2:7. Christ has actually always been the eternal Son of God, but the term begotten in Psalm 2:7 is an expression that refers to God's adoption of the Davidic king as his son for the purpose of ruling on the Davidic throne. So the term begotten in Psalm 2 doesn't mean there was a time when Jesus didn't exist and then he comes into existence. It's revealing his relationship to God as the Davidic king. The Davidic kings would be begotten or adopted by God as his son. And Jesus, from his humanity, of course, was adopted as God's son for the Davidic throne. But it's not talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ beginning or being begotten by God. God told all the angels to worship Jesus as God when he brought him into the world, Hebrews 1, 6 and 8. Nowhere does Scripture indicate that one is to worship Mary or that God directed that people were to worship Mary. That's something that has been concocted by the Catholic Church. God made his angels winds and his angelic ministers a flame of fire. But of Christ, God declared that he was God, that his throne is forever, and the scepter of uprightness was the scepter of his kingdom in Hebrews 1, 7 and 8. Because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness, God the Father anointed him with the oil of gladness above his companions. And the companions here are human beings who believed in him. Since Mary is a human, and she's also a believer according to her Magnificat in Luke 1, 46 to 47, where she referred to God as her Savior, God also anointed Jesus above Mary. Hebrews 1, 10 through 12 cited Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27 to teach that Christ is the creator of all things and the one who is unchanging in the midst of change. In other words, God, he is immutable. Jesus thus created Mary, and he remains the unchanging God. God the Father never spoke of any angel in heaven, the words of Psalm 110, verse 1, where he told Christ to sit on his right hand until he had made his enemies his footstool. For heaven's angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those believers like Mary who are to inherit Christ's salvation. The inheritance of Christ's salvation, he's talking about the full inheritance of it, where we get our glorified bodies. See, our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. They're going to be redeemed according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, at the rapture of the church. And then we, of course, participate in the kingdom of God that is coming. So the lesson is Roman Catholicism exalts Mary as Mother of God, that all power in heaven and earth has been given to her, so that even God obeys her, that she is to be worshipped, and that she is Queen of Heaven and of the angels. However, Hebrews 1, 1 through 14 teaches that Christ created and sustains the world, what includes Mary, that Christ, who bears the exact imprint of God the Father's nature, upholds the universe by the word of his power, that Christ as God is to be worshipped, not Mary, and that Christ is sovereign over the angels and believers. In fact, he's sovereign also over Mary. So in application, though God highly favored Mary to give birth to Jesus and to raise him to adulthood, she was a mortal sinner who was saved by grace. In fact, in her Magnificat, she refers to God as God, my Savior. What's he saving her for? He's saving her soul. And Mary admitted that she needed salvation. She is thus not to be exalted to the equality or the sovereignty of God, for that would be idolatry. I don't know if Mary knows right now what people are treating her at, but I would imagine if we were to speak to her, she'd be horrified. She was a humble, a servant of the Lord. In fact, she referred to herself as a female slave of God. And she was viewed herself as being fortunate, as very blessed to have the privilege of being the mother of the Messiah, that God would use her to bring the Messiah into the world. She was very humble. Young woman, and she loved the Lord. Rather, Hebrews 1, 1-14 exalts God incarnate, Jesus Christ, as the creator and the sustainer of the universe, who is above all created beings, including Mary. There was a man, he's written a book, I forget his name now, but he had been for 50 years in the Roman Catholic Church, and he had served as a priest for a number of decades. And he was talking, I think it was to a bishop, and he respectfully went to the bishop and he said, sir, was it Jesus or was it Mary who paid for our sins? He said, oh, it was Jesus. Do we go to Jesus or to Mary for salvation? Oh, we go to Jesus. And he went on and asked question after question after question. He said, then why do we exalt Mary if she doesn't have anything to do with the salvation of the soul? And the bishops couldn't give him an answer. And that led him to think very seriously about the situation. He'd been, I think he came from Quebec, which was very, very strong. Yeah, you knew that. Very strong Catholic and very devout Catholic. And so he finally decided to break from the Church of Rome. And I think he's been reordained as a pastor. I don't know if he's still alive, but this is years ago. But he wrote the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome. But it really bothered him because when he was reading his Bible as a Roman Catholic and as a priest, he came away with the conviction that we were wrong in the way that the Catholic Church was wrong in the way they were looking at Jesus and looking at Mary, and so he was reordained as a Protestant minister, and it's fascinating. one of the things that really bothered him, he was in the, he'd be in the confessional, and he was hearing confessions from women. And it bothered his conscience intently. He says, I'm hearing things that I have no business hearing. He says, and who am I to forgive? I'm myself am the sinner. And he says, after a while, he just couldn't handle it. He had to get out. He had to stop being a priest. And, and of course, his family would disown him and everything, but he just couldn't handle it anymore. So there is a tremendous gulf between the Roman Catholic Church and the truth within the Word of God. And it's important for us to see that and to discern that. Many, many very devout people are in the Roman Catholic Church. They mean well. And a lot of them are very upstanding in character. I've met a number of them over the years. But unfortunately, what they're being taught is not true. So there are many people who need to know the Lord. But it's good for us to know why we believe what we believe with the background that many of us have come from.